This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Kim Baker from Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to a special episode of the Kim Baker Show on Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 26th, episode 1113. This episode is brought to you by BioStar US. Good morning, Horse World.
Where are we going today, Mr. Peabody?
And I'm feeling good.
Welcome to the special monthly Kim Baker episode on Horses in the Morning, where our clever co-hosts explore the amazing connection between horses, animals, and humans.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Horses in the Morning. Of course, Kim is with us the fourth Thursday of every month. Every time you come on, it reminds me that another month is gone. Just...
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it just means time is just going. And that old saying that, you know, the older you get, the faster time goes. Well, that is true, by the way.
It is true. It's like that Pink Floyd song, you know. It's like the gun hits and you start the race, and then before you know it, 10 years have gone by. And you're like, whoa, where the heck did they go?
That's true. That is very, very, very true. Well, as everybody knows, Kim is with us for Thursday of the month. If you've missed past episodes and want to go back and take a listen, you can do that at horsesinthemorning.com and just put in Kim Baker in the search and it'll bring up all of her past episodes. You have a trip coming up real soon, right?
Yes, the Costa Rica trip. And I also have another retreat, so if you weren't able to join us for Costa Rica, then we're going to be doing a retreat in Colorado, in Grand Lake, Colorado, in the beautiful mountains nestled right next to Rocky Mountain National Park, which is a very famous park here in Colorado. It's going to be Thursday evening, all day Friday, all day Saturday, and then in the morning on Sunday. And we're going to be doing yoga on our mats in what's called the Bible Barn. So it's like this big open barn. And this ranch has been around for, gosh, I think it's 30, 40 years. And the lady that owns it, she is 90 years old. And she, her name is Elaine, and she is just a character. She gets all dressed up in her boots, and she still rides when she can. And she joins us, and she just loves people that love horses. And we get connected with our horses, talk about that, how to build a better relationship, and then we go on these fabulous trail rides. So I'm working on putting the materials together for that, so stay tuned, but you can check that out at my website at kbnaturalhorsemanship.com.
Very good. And your Costa Rica trip is in the middle of the month, right? So when we talk to you next, we should be able to hear all about it.
That's right.
Cool. Very good.
Hi.
Well, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Kim Baker Show by BioStar, we have a reading of Angie's horse, Ruby, always a fascinating topic to do a reading. And then Claudia Hyatt talks about how you can visualize your way to success, always a good idea. And then Amy Howard opens us up to the brand new world of holistic dressage. That's going to be interesting.
Do they play? Do they have candles going around the edge, or is that?
That would be new age
dressage.
New age dressage.
instead of the little white chain, you just have candles going all the way around.
that'd be really pretty for like a birthday or a wedding or something like that.
Yeah, as long as your wacky dressage horse was used to candles and fire, yeah, that would be great.
Maybe just use the little tea lights.
Yeah, there you go. We've had problems in the past of horses, you know, of certain people we know jumping out of the ring during dressage. Maybe with the candles,
right,
that would eliminate that problem, you know?
There you go.
They wouldn't get anywhere near it. Your 20-meter circles would then become 10-meter circles. I'm not going anywhere near the edge of this ring. This is how you plan to start the show, isn't it, Kim?
You know, I don't plan anymore. I just whatever unfolds is what unfolds, and that actually happens a lot. So I kind of let spirit guide us as to what's meant to come out comes out.
You know, you had done so well when Kim first started. Kim did her own show for a long time, and before she came to the Horse Radio Network, and it was so well structured and it was so well done. And then I warned her when she came here that things were a little different. And then, you know, your first couple of episodes, you kept it pretty good, and I managed to stay on task till that episode when you went to the concert the night before and got no sleep. And then
right.
From then on, it's been a free for all.
That's right. But you know what? The whole point is we all love horses. We all love animals. And we want to have fun. And if we can throw in a little bit of educational information in there every now and then I'm happy.
That's what we do. We throw in a little bit of education into every show. And the rest of it is just fluff. Well, speaking of which...
Oh, great. Here comes the fluff.
Here comes the fluff. It's time for the medicine cards.
Thanks, Glenn.
There's a good. Hey, I'm good at my transitions this week. There you go.
Oh, okay. So, speaking of having fun, the card that I pulled is the otter card.
The what?
And otters know all about having fun.
Like the water creature? The otter?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is perfect.
Yes, the river otter. So otter, it stands for woman medicine. Here you go, Glenn. This is what you need.
Great. That's what I want to hear about on a Thursday morning.
Okay. Let's see. Woman energy without games or control is a beautiful experience. It is the freeness of love without jealousy. It is the joy of loving other people's children and their accomplishments as much as you love your own. It may be time to examine your feelings about sharing the bounty of your life with others. Otter may be saying that the finer qualities of woman need to be striven for in both men and women so that the unity of spirit can be achieved. This would involve the destruction of jealousy and all of the acts of anger which stem from that fear. It would mean keeping a hawk eye on your ego and maintaining total trust. It would mean a world full of people coming together to honor the right of each person to be. If you have drawn the symbol, Otter may be telling you to become the playful child and to simply allow things to unfold in your life. It may be time to stop your addiction to worrying. Otter also teaches the importance of not hanging on to material things that would bind you or would become a burden. And looking at how you can learn from otter's habits, you may look at the joyous of receptive side of your nature. Have you given yourself a gift recently? Have you received any messages in your meditations? Become otter and move gently into the river of life. Flow with the waters of the universe. This is the way of balanced female receptive energy. Honor it. In doing so, you will discover the power of woman. So we're only just talking about that, about letting things flow and unfold.
Yep.
And all that stuff. So, wow, what a great, it's a great message. So that was a little different than what you thought it was going to be, huh, Glenn?
Yes, it did. It was. But otters are, you know, it did fit, too, because otters are the most playful of most of the animal kingdom. So that's perfect.
That
see what I've
are.
Done for you, Kim, how I've brought you out of your shell over these months.
Was I in a shell before? I know.
All right, it is time also for our inspirational message.
Inspirational message. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. So many good ones. Okay. We are made to persist. That's how we find out who we are. And that is by Tobias Wolff, who I have no idea who that person is.
Who's that? He persisted so much, we don't even know who he is.
But we know who we are.
That's funny. And
oh, yeah.
Flying right up this morning. We're right in. We're into our adoptable horse of the month already.
We're on time this morning.
I know. We're just chop chop. I told you I'm keeping you on schedule today.
All right. Our adoptable
now,
horses.
Yeah, I was just going to explain it. This is the time every month when Kim brings us a horse that is up for adoption that we can take a look at. Usually they're out of Colorado. And, you know, Jamie just went up and got a horse in Nevada. She drove 14 hours. So if you're within anywhere within 14 hours of Colorado, you can take a look at this one. And what do we have today?
We have a 7-year-old thoroughbred gelding. His name is Cash, and he is a very handsome, I would call him probably like a blood bay. I mean, he's like this almost mahogany bay color. He's just, wow, he's really handsome dude. It doesn't look like he has any white markings at all that I can see, unless there's some like under his forelock or something. But he's quiet, yet he has a mischievous mind with a sweet disposition. His first career was a racehorse, but he can no longer be ridden and works for prolonged periods due to a strain on his tendons. He can, however, be a sound and fun addition to your herd, so he can be a companion animal. You probably could do some agility with him, or what is that? I know that's like dog related, but I can't remember the horse term at the moment.
They call it horse agility. Yeah.
Is it horse agility? Okay. So you could probably do agility with him. He's 15.2 hands. He absolutely loves human attention, and he stands really well for the farrier and the vet, and he's current on all of his stuff. And he is available at the Dumb Friends League Harmony Equine Center, which is located in Franktown, Colorado, which is just south of Denver. And it's open to the public Friday through Sunday from 11 to 3, except for major holidays. And you can learn more about adoption at ddfl.org/equine. That web address again is ddfl.org. And then click on the equine button. And I'm a little slow in getting it posted on, it's on my personal Facebook page, but I will get him posted on Keeping Natural Horsemanship and Kim Baker Show so you guys can see him there. But he is quite the handsome guy.
All right, very good. Well, we are going to have a reading here coming up in a minute with one of our listeners. We do that every month here on the show. But before we get to that, I have to tell everybody to hop on over to Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Jennifer did a post yesterday, and you'll find this interesting, too. What normal everyday object scares your horse? And we had a ton of responses to that. And,
oh, yeah, what were some of the responses?
Well, some of them were interesting. Hay bales. If you got a horse scared of hay bales.
Hay bales? Which one? The big rounds?
I don't know. It just says hay bales. Go figure. That'd be a tough one to get over. Garbage truck. You know, it's funny because my driving pony is not scared of anything mechanical. Scooter is just great with cars, trucks. We had one of those street sweepers come down the road straight at us, which, you know, you'd think, and Jennifer's horse was kind of freaked out about it, but he didn't care. But yet, if there's a rustling in the woods, he's out of there. It's just a little funny rustling in the woods. I don't know how I'm ever going to drive this pony in the woods, because if he sees a deer, I'm dead. But here's a couple others. Sparkly Christmas ribbons. Let's see.
Yeah.
Here's one. For one horse in our barn, it's the letter A. You know, and that's tough if you're doing dressage, right?
Yes, it is.
A is kind of an important letter in dressage. Mailboxes. Yeah, there's a lot of horses, I think, scared of mailboxes, right?
Yeah, I think it's sometimes the reflection of the light off of them.
Oh, here. This one's funny. Mailman, this is related. Seriously, all of them. Cars go by without incident, but the mail car comes by and freaks them out.
What kind of mail car are they driving?
Mounting block, well, that's because they know you're getting on. I think that's why that one. Here's an odd one. White fleece. It's afraid of white fleece. Sunspots in the indoor footing. You know, there are horses that are fascinated by that. When the sun comes through a window in the indoor and just puts spots on the ground, I've seen that before.
Yeah, my mare, she looks at that too. Like, again, it's that change of light. Like, even when the snow has melted and we still have patches and like areas that don't get sunlight, she looks at those too. But yeah, the spots on the indoor arena and thunder the Denver Broncos mascot, he was warming up at the National Western Complex, and they had their little logo as a spotlight that was, like, rolling around, you know, on the arena floor, and he's like, what the heck is that thing? So it moves, too, so that's not good.
That's true. Here's one from Tracy that said he has faced charging buffalo, clapping crowds, and firing guns with endless bravery. Occasionally, however, Joshua trees on the trail go through some change that are invisible to my ignorant eyes, and his bravery meets its end. Well written.
Oh, interesting.
I have to look up a Joshua tree. I'm not sure what a Joshua tree is. I'll have to look that up.
It's this little cactus looking thing.
Yeah, we don't have
those. So it's kind of like a fuzzy cactus.
Oh, well, that would scare me, too. It goes on and on, you know, all the different things that horses are afraid of. And I was looking for something consistent here, and there's not really anything consistent. Here's one that's afraid of the sound a water bottle makes. And, you know, they're getting thinner and thinner, water bottles. So when you pick them up, they do crinkle now. They're not, they have that crinkling sound, so I can see that. But, yeah, you can find that at Horses in the Morning. I just thought it was funny, some of the things horses are afraid of. Well, let's find out a little bit about one of our listeners' horses, and we have Angie on with us this morning. And every morning or every month, Kim does a reading for one of our listeners' horses, and we're going to do the same this morning. And I think we'll find out where Angie is from and everything, and she is ready for you, Kim.
Great. And just to mention, Glenn, we need more people that want to do readings. We've got someone lined up for March, but we don't have people lined up after that, if I can talk.
All right,
I'll try it again. After that.
All right.
So contact Glenn, right?
Yeah, send me an email at glenn@horseradionetwork.com and just tell me you want to do a reading for your horse, and we'll get you lined up. Now, it's going to be a couple of months, so it's not going to be tomorrow. Just keep that
exactly.
Going.
Good point. Thank you, Glenn. Well, welcome, Angie. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for being on. So we're doing a reading of your horse, and she's a beautiful registered name, Russian Bayou, and you call her Ruby. She is a 7-year-old thoroughbred, and she's located in Boonesboro. Is that correct, Maryland?
Yes, that's correct.
So are you guys under, like, 10 feet of snow, or what's going on in Maryland?
Actually, it's not too bad. We did get quite a bit over the weekend, and then it warmed up the following day, so that helped out. Now there's some flurries coming down again, but I refuse to believe there's no end in sight. We've got to have spring soon here. We're ready to get out.
Yeah, I know. There's a storm that just rolled through Denver yesterday, and we're supposed to get more today, a little break on Friday, and more Saturday into Sunday. So, but we haven't had, you know, the major dumps that the East Coast has had, although it's been cold. I think it's like 10 degrees or something this morning. So,
yeah, we've had that too.
But I always look at, you know, at least here in the West, you know, it gets so dry so quickly. So snow is a blessing because it means green grass and lower fire danger.
Mm.
Okay, so your first question for Miss Ruby was what part or parts of her are might still be hurting or she's uncomfortable. And first I looked at her teeth, and they don't look too terrible, but she might have a couple of points or hooks that you might want to have checked out. When was the last time her teeth were floated?
It would have been last May.
Okay, so it's probably about time. To have those checked. And then she was saying her right shoulder is stuck, her withers are stuck on the right side. She has some ribs out. She's pretty sore in the left hip that runs down into the stifle. Sometimes her hock freezes up a little bit. Not always, just that kind of comes and goes. So she was wanting definitely have the teeth done first, because the body won't hold unless the teeth are correct. And then if you can, have a chiropractor come out. She also wanted some acupuncture in the hip area. And she would definitely benefit from, like, laser therapy as well.
Okay.
So do you have a practitioner out there that can do all that stuff for her?
I can find probably a couple of different people, all with the exception of the laser therapy. I don't. There might be one acupuncturist that still does that. I can check with her.
Okay.
And it's interesting that she says that. I guess where I'm struggling is that she's had, well, except the laser, she's had all of this done repeatedly before.
Uh-huh.
And never really seems to stick.
That's where the teeth come into play.
Okay.
So, yeah, if the teeth are off, then it still pulls the body out. And sometimes, you know, if she's, now I didn't ask her this question, but, you know, if she had an injury before or something like that, and it was a while ago, and then, you know, you just compensate for so long, it's really hard to retrain the muscles to not compensate anymore. And so sometimes they'll pull everything back out. So just giving it time to kind of let that unwind. But that's definitely where the teeth come into play for sure.
All right, cool.
And she said that she wants like kind of a little slower rehab work to build up her muscles a little bit more correctly instead of in the compensation mode.
Okay.
And then your next question was, do you think the feed change is helping you feel better? And she said yes.
Okay.
To that question. And then, let's see, your next question is, why do you weave and pace in your stall sometimes? So what she's showing me is, like, this is kind of stuff from when she was on the track, and it's more of like an anxious anticipation of what's to come.
Okay.
So like, oh, I'm going to race today, or I'm going to, you know, kind of like, oh, I'm going to get out, and I'm just, you know, like she's kind of building herself up, and she has all this energy, and she doesn't know what to do with it, so she waves back and forth.
Okay.
Or it could be like the rest of us, she's just sick of winter. There's a few humans weaving in their stalls, too.
Yeah, I might be one of them.
Yeah, see? She's just mimicking you. That's what it is.
There you go. That's what they do. They definitely mirror. Absolutely. Next question. Do you like your dressage lessons? She says, no, not really.
I could have told you that.
But do you like your jumping lessons? Yes. And then do you want to go fox hunting again? She said, absolutely. She got really excited about the fox hunting. Like, she almost started jumping up and down.
No, she did start jumping up and down, and other things. So that's why I couldn't tell if she liked it, because it was quite a ride.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Well, she had fun. I don't know if you did, but
yeah, she had a blast. And then I made the mistake of going, okay, well, that was one time. Maybe that's just a fluke. No, it was the same thing second time, and then I said, okay, wait, we gotta regroup here. Either this is overly enthusiastic, or this is, I can't handle this, it's too much stimulation or something.
Do you do a drag hunt or a live hunt?
It's a live hunt, yeah.
It's a live hunt. Do you have a lot of standing around, or is it going most of the time?
It, you know, honestly, Glenn, it varies. I mean, because it's live, you can't control, you know,
right,
how much scent, how long the scent, how strong the scent, so I put her, and this is always a struggle too, probably should have Kim on hotline, but do you let them go in third field where it's a little slower, or do you put them up immediately in first and then they go galloping on? You know, I have another horse that either loves it or hates it because she has almost the same level of enthusiasm, and I can't quite tell.
Jennifer can probably answer this. She's ridden your horse before in the hunt. Would you have rather been in the back or the front, Jennifer?
Well, third or first field. Like, third field, she knows, is usually slower. Yeah.
Jennifer, what was that up?
Some horses never adapt to third field, and the longer you keep them there, the worse they get.
Yeah.
They want to move, and they want to be in front because they're naturally competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really tough one. One of the ways you can test that is if you can get a gang of your friends together and go out for, like, a simulated hunt. In other words, go out for the whole gang of your friends, even if it's only three or four or five. Gallop for a while, stand around for a while, go around in circles for a while, trot for a while, and spend a good couple of hours like that and see if your horse will settle into being in the middle or the back of that small pack.
Okay.
And if she doesn't, she's a first field horse.
Okay.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, my guess.
Okay,
well, not my guess,
it,
but
yeah. Sorry, Tim.
Go
I got a little off track there, but that's
no.
That makes
fine.
Me feel better
Ruby
actually.
So she's saying that she, especially with her racing background,
mm-hmm.
she wants to be up front.
Okay.
The problem is Angela doesn't want to be in front of the guys in the red coats. See, that's where the
right,
fear comes
from.
The
problem is.
And the problem is.
Don't you get in trouble for that?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's possible that that's already happened with a couple other horses, you know. So,
yeah. See, yeah. She doesn't want to be that girl, you know. That's the problem. I have a song for that, by the way.
Yeah, she's been that girl.
So what you can do is you just kind of start to have a conversation with her. So, Glenn.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. That's fine. So just have a conversation with her, Angie, about, like, start visualize in your head, like, what the rules of the hunt are and kind of show her the placement of the horses and, like, how that interacts out as best you can, like a movie in your head.
Okay.
When you're standing next to her or something and just kind of show her the different placements and then just trust your feeling on where you think she feels the most comfortable and just, you know, it's like any relationship, you know, you just kind of have to work, you have to communicate and you have to work out the compromise. And I think once she understands a little better about the, you know, the format, and you can try to equivalent it to how the horses are, you know, on the track, since she understands that. So you can explain that this is not a race to win. It's, you know, each, you know, group has a different purpose and all that, and just kind of do that. And I think she's saying yes, that will help her understand. So your next question was, do you think you'd like to compete at a horse trial? And she said she's not ready for that yet. She would like to have more rehab and training, but, you know, it's possible down the road.
Okay.
And then messages for you are spend more time with her. She loves being groomed and like kind of like a spa day. You know, you're just making her look beautiful. And then she showed me that she wants you to paint glitter on her. Have you ever done that? Like on her butt or on her hooves?
No, I kind of thought maybe she was a little bit of a girly girl horse because, yeah, no, I'm not that girl. Okay.
You're not that girl. Okay, go on with the song again.
That doesn't surprise
me. She's very girly girl. She's like, she wants things braided into her mane as well. So maybe you could just pick a day that you could kind of do that for her and just, you know, like parade her around the barn or something. She wants more toys in her stall.
Oh, okay.
She showed me, like, you know, a ball that's hanging in the middle that she can play with. And then she's really, really happy to be with you, Angie. And she loves you very much.
Good. Okay, good. Good.
Angie, I got to ask you, and I follow Angie. We're friends on Facebook. So you're not the ideal girly girl type, are you?
No, we're close.
Now, I also saw that you are. Do you work at the Coast Guard? Are you reserves or something?
No, actually, I'm a contractor in their IT department over in places, a little town called Kearneysville, West Virginia. So it's everyone says
the Coast Guard has
an
office in West Virginia.
I knew that was coming. I almost got it headed it off, but
not a lot of water there. I just
was
curious.
Yeah, but it turns out the water, as Glenn the Geek might know, isn't very good for the computing system, so that's why it's been where it is.
Oh, they move it inland a little. Okay, got it.
Right. Yeah.
Just
so one of the things, Kim, I wanted to tell you real quick, just to give a quick shout-out, is I heard Tigger on one of the shows, and I called her about Ruby. And so when I ask you if she thinks the feed changes are helping, Tigger gave me a whole regimen of what to feed her and what she thought was causing, you know, the constant issues that I had. So she's obviously on two of Tigger's products now, and Tigger's been a big help in you know, providing me some good advice on what to try. So I really appreciate
that. She is just, I love her. She is such a wealth of information, and she is so in it for the horse, you know, and I just love people like that, right? Because we've all seen in the horse world where people are in it for themselves and not for the horse. And but she just truly, she's authentic, she's genuine, she loves what she does, and, yeah, she really, really cares about the horses. So thank you for sharing that. That means a lot, you know, to me as well as to, you know, BioStar. They sponsor the show. So that's awesome. And it's great to hear that Ruby agrees. You know, it's not just us, right? Like she's saying, it's helping me.
Yeah. And one more quick thing, everybody's now on her multi supplement called Optimum EQ. And if anybody hasn't ever checked it out, it's a whole food supplement in like a little snack. And if I'm not careful, the goats will sneak up and eat it. But the horses, I wasn't convinced at first. But the horses literally will seek that out of the rest of their, you know, alfalfa pellets, et cetera, and eat that, that little bar. So if anybody has a chance, check that out. It's really cool. Yeah.
So what's funny about that is I use that too. I use it in the spring to fall. When my horses are on pasture, it really just helps, you know, balance them and regulate them. And my geldings were like, oh, yeah, yummy, cookies. My mare, she's a girly girl too, Angie, so we have a lot in common because I'm not a girly girl. I was a tomboy growing up, you know, all that stuff. My mom's very disappointed because she really wanted me to be a girly girl. But my mare is a girly girl, and she is a drama queen. And it's just so funny, but she will smell the food, and if it's different, she's like, ew. And it took her a while to warm up, but now she does the same thing. When those cookies are in their buckets, that's the first thing that she eats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surprised. I got to be honest. I was like, well, let me see what they say. They love it. Love it. They love the joint supplement, too. So they get
great. Great.
So,
all right.
Awesome.
Well, Angie, thank you so much. And thank you, Ruby, for being on the show this morning. And you guys have a great rest of your day.
Thanks Angie.
Again, Kim. Thanks, Glenn. And I'll see how fast I can get my glitter ordered.
That sounds good. Post it on Facebook so we can see.
Okay. All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Angie.
You too. Thanks.
And I did want to mention that we are going to hear again from BioStar. Tigger will be back with us after our next guest. And today we are talking about oily horses. That's right. We're talking about oily horses later in the show.
You'll like this one, oily horses. It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah,
but
you know what?
Next,
We use oil for our horses, so I was very interested to hear that I'm using the wrong one. So it was interesting. So I think everybody's going to get a lot out of that one.
That's usually how it goes, right? Oh, you're using the wrong one. Darn it!
Right. But our next guest is ready.
All right. So please welcome Claudia Hyatt. She is a creative, passionate, and dynamic coach. Her passion is for helping young adults get started in life on the right foot with a support system and the tools they need to pursue success, however they define that. And her biggest thing is visualization. And that's what we're going to be talking to Claudia about today. Welcome, Claudia.
Hi, good morning.
Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good. Because sometimes you just never know. So I just wanted to make sure. So Claudia and I met in New York and found out that we're both in the Denver area. Imagine that. And she was telling me about her program, and, you know, I think we all agree that supporting the youth is extremely important because they are the future of everything. So the more that they're prepared and educated, right? This is our education segment, right, Glenn, that we were mentioning earlier. And Claudia has a very unique way of doing that. So, Claudia, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got started in this.
Excuse me. Well, my background is in coaching, life coaching. And I really started to really feel a passion for helping young adults get this information before we get to the point where we're like, oh, things didn't work out the way we wanted to. we all get to there, right? So I really wanted to
get parents say that, no, you can't do that because you won't make any money or, you know, just some of that old nasty programming stuff.
Exactly. So we need to learn to get out of their way, and they need to learn how to create what they want. And so I have three soccer players myself, and I really learned that to make it relevant to them, to teach them in the place that they were with what they wanted to achieve was really the best way to do that. And so I created a program called Head in the Game Sports, and it's a video program for kids who want to learn how to achieve now so they can start learning how to create success in their life early.
That's awesome. And how do you feel about, you know, it used to be we'd have field day and, you know, you had your first, second, third places. And maybe you'd go down to, you know, fifth place or something like that. But if you didn't score enough or whatever, you know, the rules might have been, then you didn't get a ribbon. You didn't get something. So how do you feel about now they're shifting that so that everybody gets some type of, you know, recognition and award?
The just for participating in
yeah.
award? I personally, I'm a fan of competition because that's everything in life. Not everybody can win. And it's a lot easier to learn that when the consequences aren't great. So you didn't get a ribbon. So you work harder next time if that's something you really want to aim for and achieve. But when we just give people awards for existing, and it doesn't give them inspiration in order to achieve anything. And it's not to say you know, if somebody feels bad because they didn't get a ribbon, then that's something that that somebody's putting on them, saying, oh, you're not worth anything because you didn't achieve it. It's just, you say, hey, you gave it your best shot. That was awesome. You gave it a try. And instead of we're putting all this pressure on if you didn't get a ribbon, then you're not worth anything. And so that's where the programming goes wrong, not in the striving to achieve something.
Exactly. Yeah,
yay,
I like that.
Claudia, I'm so glad to hear you say that. Yay. Because guess what? When they get through high school and when they get out of school, they're going to discover the hard way, and it's going to be much harder to discover that in life when you're dealing with jobs and all the pressures and achievements and things you need to do there. They're not going to give you an award for participation anymore. So I think it's much easier to learn that along the way than it is to discover it when you're 20.
Yes.
You know, and the fall is a lot less difficult when you're 5 than when you're 20.
Yes, it's a lot shorter.
Yeah,
30 or 40 or 50. Absolutely. And like you said, life is not like that. You know, if you are in sports and you want to go to the Olympics, you don't get a ribbon for just showing up. You only get, you know, gold, silver, and bronze. That's it. I mean, it's quite an honor to be just in the Olympics. And,
yeah, and I heard
you know,
Olympic Village is a lot of fun, so maybe you do kind of get an award for showing up.
So,
but
I mean,
it's a different.
Yeah, it's definitely, yes, a recognition. I mean, how many people can say, you know, I participated in I was an athlete, you know, in the Olympics. So there is a bit of that honor, but, you know, I agree. It's like you don't get an award for just showing up. And it's been interesting in the corporate world hearing how, you know, people are hiring interns or things like that, and they have no work ethic. It's like they show up and they just assume that that's all they need to do. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, it doesn't work that way. You actually have to do something. You actually have to work. And so I agree. I think we're sending mixed messages, right? It's like it's okay to just be there and you get recognized for that versus, you know, what about the ones that really do, you know, they train and they work hard And so I think it kind of diminishes those too that do perform really well.
Yeah, we're not rewarding people who do work, because we have to reward the people who don't work as well, because it's not fair, right? If the people who work get rewarded and the people who don't get rewarded. So unfortunately, we're creating a society that's perpetuating this feeling, because somebody somewhere said, "Oh, you're not worth anything because you didn't work hard enough, or this wasn't your forte." That's just life, like you said. It's, you know, find your niche, find where you excel and go after it.
Exactly. So let's talk about, you say the two key, so we all know what visualization is, well, at least I hope we all know. So, and I talk about it a lot, like in the horse world, using it before you go into a competition, use it before you even go on a trail ride, use it before you go on a fox hunt. You know, visualize, you know, your perfect ride, like how exactly you want it to go. And so you say, what are the two key ingredients to visualization that accelerate results that most people miss? So what are we missing?
The first one is emotion. You need to add, how do you feel while you're in it? That really
that's a good one.
Puts you in that place. And on top of emotion, add your five senses. So it's really five things, but end at one, your senses. So what do you hear when you're on that ride? What does it taste like? Can you taste the dust coming up? What do you see? What does it smell like? And what does it feel like? Like, you know, the horse beneath you, the saddle, all that. What does that feel like?
Very good. So, Glenn, what does it smell like?
Depends where we're at, I think.
I thought you'd have some comment on that.
I just that's all I'm going to say.
But what you're creating...
You know, go ahead, Claudia.
You're creating a reality with your visualization, and the more real, because those are all things that exist whenever you're actually experiencing something, so the more you can put in actual experience into your visualization, the more real it becomes and the easier it is to create.
That
yeah,
is a good point, because I've talked to event riders who many of them use visualization, and dressage riders too, but with the event riders, before they go on their cross country, they've walked that cross country course so many times that they can visualize it. But I like what you're saying. You know, if they then because they walked it without a crowd, they walked it without the judges and without the cars and without all the noise and everything, if they can put that into their visualization as well, and the flags, you know, flapping and everything, that makes it a whole different ride than when they walked it, the course, when it was completely empty.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, makes sense.
Well, that's a big piece too, right? The crowd, you know. Some are smaller shows, so there isn't a big crowd. Some are really large shows, and so there is a crowd. The crowd's definitely involved. So, that yeah, I didn't even think about those. That's great. Those are great tips. And they talk about that in, you know, the law of attraction and stuff too, right? Manifesting, that you feel it. And so that's a big one too, mentioned.
Exactly. You're creating it ahead of time, and you're just haven't quite gotten there yet, and you'll get there. It's a great way, especially like you said about crowds, because you can't really practice a crowd until
right.
the crowd is there. So the only way to kind of feel that before you is to imagine it. What does it feel like to have people yelling, and you know, what does that add to the stress and what's going on around you?
Right, because the crowd can certainly create, you know, different stress levels, either for you or your horse, or and we
right.
were talking about that earlier, like things that scare your horse, and horses that haven't been around crowds, you know, that are screaming or clapping, that's a big one. I've seen a lot of horses that haven't been exposed to that will become afraid of the clapping.
And anytime you're insecure, it's going to, you know, I mean, translate to your horse, too. So if
absolutely.
You... The less you're secure in the situation, the less secure your horse is going to be, too.
Absolutely. So in training, for, you know, an event or, again, I mean, even if you don't compete, this is still applicable to, you know, recreational trail riders. Because, you know, how many times have, it's like we've gone out on the trail and now we're like thinking, oh, you know, what if the horse spooks at that rock, or, you know, what if we run into a bear, and, you know, all these like what ifs, and then you just kind of create your ride from there. So what's, in training, you say here, why athletes should never be trained to prevent injury. So explain that one.
Because you create, like kind of what we're talking about, you create what you focus on. And okay. you can't picture don't or not or want. So if I say that I don't want to break my leg, I picture a broken leg in my mind.
Right.
So you want to talk about a healthy, what if, you know, a healthy leg, a healthy body. And so in your mind, you're picturing healthy parts of your body instead of seeing that injury, because, like I said, what you create in your mind and you focus on, that's what's going to happen. And that's why the more prevention, like if you go through a concussion prevention, all of a sudden everybody's got a concussion. Like, wait
right.
a second, I just taught you how to prevent this, and it's because they start focusing on the prevention instead of how this is the way to keep your head healthy.
That's, you know, it's true. I'm teaching an animal communication class at the HELLA seminar every Tuesday night for 8 weeks. And what was interesting was on Tuesday, the last couple of times, for some reason, I'm the host, but the converse line drops me. And the first time, like, I didn't realize it, and I'm just talking away, and then I'm like, it's quiet. Nobody's, like, making comments. Hmm. And so the second time, like, I caught it. But what was interesting is that I thought about it, because I was like, oh, the line hasn't dropped me yet. And then, I kid you not, like, 2 minutes after that, the line dropped me. And I'm thinking, okay, why can't I think, oh, I just won the lottery, and then boom.
I know, right? We can't manifest that stuff that fast.
Exactly. So this is a big one, and we all use social media, and it's, you know, become such an important part of our lives, sadly enough to say. But you talk about, well, tell us a little bit more in how social media is killing either your child or even your own dreams.
Well, there's a couple of different ways. And one is fear-based in terms of, you know, everybody's got a camera. You know, what happens if I make a mistake and somebody posts that? So they're afraid to try something that they might not succeed at because it might show up somewhere and feel embarrassing to them. The other way is, we watch social media and we see these fantastic moments on YouTube or Instagram or whatever, and it's that perfect moment that another athlete or another person has achieved, and we see that and we think, oh, I'll never be that good, so I'm not even going to try. And when we don't see in that 30-second video or whatever that all the years of sweat and training, and that was 30 seconds of perfection, and even probably the next part of that wasn't as wonderful. But we see those moments of perfection, and we don't feel like we measure up, so we don't even try.
Oh, that's interesting. I posted a video on my Facebook page about a gentleman that was doing dressage stuff with a mule. And I was looking at how he was communicating with the horse and how, or mule, and how the mule was responding and things. And, you know, just posted my comments and asked for, you know, comments back. And one of the people on my page, you know, everybody always criticizes, and I wasn't criticizing this person, or at least not intentionally. That was not my intention. You know, how the cues and that kind of thing. He's like, I'm more concerned of what happens prior to the ride and what happens after the ride. And I thought, you know, that is an excellent point. And that's just what you're talking about.
We don't know what happens before, and we don't know what happens after. And those are actually some very, and especially in working with, you know, horses and mules, those are some very important moments. And my trainer, my mentor, used to call it behind the barn training. What are they doing, you know, to create that magic show? You don't know.
Right.
So that's really good, and that's just that's a great little nugget, you know, to think about. So Claudia, where can people get more information about you? You said you do life coaching, and then you created the program Head in the Game Sports. So this is something that isn't necessarily for young adults. Like, adults can do this too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's 30 videos, but they're all 5 minutes or less, so really short. But it just really gets them thinking in a new way, gets them looking at life a different way, and it's just really powerful to get it started right now. But it's never too late, so if they want to start now, awesome. So they can find me at headinthegamesports.com.
Okay.
Or they could even call me at 720-315-4892.
Great. So that web address again is headinthegamesports, just like it sounds, all those words, .com. And Claudia's phone number again is 720-315-4892. Well, Claudia, thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate it. I think this is fabulous, especially for our young adults. It's really important that, you know, they get a head start. You know, a jump in the game on how it's really played, how life is really played. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Glenn, for having me on.
Thank you, Claudia. Can I just mention one thing that visualization does not work for? Every time I try and print something with my printer, I visualize it working, and it never does. So I'm just saying, printers are not in the game. Just,
okay.
I don't know. They have no heart, is what I'm thinking. Thank you, Claudia.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks, Claudia. Have a good one.
I tried to print something this morning, and it didn't work again.
I know
time.
Those printers. They, you know, instead of visualizing, maybe just send it more positive energy.
How about I send it out the window? Is what they really
there
thought about doing this morning. That's the positive energy I wanted to give my printer. That's very good. Let's hear from Tigger at BioStar. We're talking about oily horses this morning, and then we have another guest coming up here. So hang in there, everybody.
And here we are with another segment of Ask the Expert with Tigger from BioStar US. Welcome, Tigger.
Hi, Kim.
So good to hear your voice again, Tigger. And today, as Glenn said, coined it earlier, we are going to be talking about oily horses. Or, and in reality, we're going to be talking about feeding oils to horses. And there's a whole bunch of stuff wrapped around that. What's right to do, what's not right to do, can horses really truly process oil, things like that. But let's go with just why. So why do people feed oils to their horses?
Oils are an excellent fat source for horses, and the fat is converted into energy. So it's kind of a what I call the long burn energy versus grain energy, which is high in carbohydrates, and that's kind of a quick burn energy.
Oils are good for the long haul, so this would be, you know, good for endurance horses, competition horses, you know, horses that are going to be needing lots of energy for long periods of time, right, Tigger?
Yes, it's very good for stamina energy. It's also good for the metabolic horses, depending on which kind of fat you use, because a lot of them are kind of, you know, lazy, and they're easier to ride when they have a little bit more oomph. So it's not just for endurance and show jumpers and eventers and dressage horses. It can be for, you know, the trail horse that's the easy keeper but doesn't, you know, doesn't really have a lot of zing or doesn't really want to go forward easily.
Okay. And you know what? I have been on one of those horses, and it's not any fun. When the horse won't go, it is not any fun. So if we want to feed oils to our horses, what do you recommend?
So I personally really, really like two particular oils. hemp seed oil. It's not just for smoking anymore. And so this, of course, is a THC-free hemp, not marijuana oil.
Right. Good question.
I want to make that really clear.
Well, you know, the other, it could accomplish the same goal, you know.
Right. Yeah, it's also, yeah, that yeah, we're not going to, that's a rat hole. We're not going to go down that one.
So you said hemp oil, and what were the others?
Camelina.
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 Right? Okay.
Camelina.
Okay, let's see. Yep.
And where do we find camelina?
Hemp oil. Okay, well, camelina is called false flax. And I'm going to explain to you the differences.
Okay.
Yes.
Hemp oil is very, very high in something called GLA, gamma-linolenic acid. It's what the body uses to control inflammation.
Okay.
So let's say you've got inflammation in the GI tract or inflammation in the hindgut. Hemp seed oil is fantastic to help reduce that kind of inflammation, while also being a terrific fat source for energy, maintaining muscle glycogen.
Would the hemp seed be good then too for colic, helping colic?
Colic isn't necessarily, it can be an inflammatory condition, but hemp seed oil isn't going to work that quickly.
Okay, good to know. Okay.
So camelina oil is known as false flax. It's been grown in Europe for thousands of years. And it fell out of favor after the Second World War with soy and corn. So, you know, companies were saying, oh, you know, we don't really need camelina. We need more corn and soy oil.
Yeah.
So it fell out of favor, and it has been revived in the last decade. And luckily, it's been revived in the U.S. as well as in Europe. What makes camelina unique is that it's got almost the perfect omega-3-6-9 ratio, twice as much omega-3 as 6, and it includes 9. And the other thing I really love about camelina oil is it's incredibly high in vitamin E.
Okay.
So for EPM horses, for PSSM horses, for horses that may have low selenium vitamin E levels, for horses that just need increased oxygenation of the muscles, camelina oil is a fantastic oil.
Yeah, it sounds like almost the perfect oil.
It is almost the perfect oil.
Very cool.
And what's nice about camelina and hemp seed oil is that presently these oils are all cold pressed. So they're not solvent extracted like corn and soy oil, which are extracted with hexane and neurotoxin, and nor are they exposed to high heat, which destroys them.
Okay.
So they're processed very similarly to virgin olive oil.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a very good comparison to know. And are these oils readily available, or are they in something else? How would one
oil
obtain them?
You can buy bulk hemp seed oil. You can buy it at BioStar. There are probably other places online to buy it. It all comes from Canada, because in the U.S. we're not allowed to grow hemp, and therefore we can't make the oil yet.
Gotcha.
Camelina oil is available from a number of upper Midwest small farmers, and then there is a Canadian supplier as well.
Okay, and does BioStar sell
camelina?
As well as
BioStar, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what?
Great.
Okay, I'm on the website at biostarus.com.
So our hemp oil is called Empower.
Yep, I see that, Empower.
And the camelina oil is called Gold Star.
Gold Star. All right, very good.
Get the Gold Star for being almost perfect. Woohoo. So, Tigger, why not use regular vegetable oil, canola oil,
you know, stuff like that. And I will admit that I used to use that on my horse.
You can look at fat as, I just need to add something fat to my horse's diet. This is, you know, a typical approach with a polysaccharide storage myopathy horse or an EPSM horse. But what we're learning is that the quality of the oil really counts. And vegetable oil, soy oil, canola oil, they're highly processed. So they're
right.
heat treated and solvent extracted. So a lot of the other beneficial attributes of the oil, aside from the fat, that would be could be vitamin A, could be vitamin E, they're all destroyed in the processing. And that's why, you know, in what I learned about processing of oils, it's kind of like if you poured some Mazola oil in a pan and heated it up and then cooled it down, would you drink it? Well, that's
no.
what they do in the extraction process.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Okay. So what about, I was told by... It doesn't matter who it was, but somebody told me, you know, horses cannot process oil because they lack a gallbladder. But yet...
Well, they do, but they are very efficient at processing fat. So put the oil aside. When you feed a really good oil,
mm-hmm.
you are feeding 1 to 2 ounces per feeding versus...
So not much, right.
...a Mazola oil, which is could be up to a cup for feeding for the EPSM horses.
Okay.
That's a lot of oil for them to process.
Okay. That makes sense. And it sounds like, too, like you were saying, the highly processed oils, it doesn't have what the horse needs anyway. So it probably just goes, you know, right back out.
It just has the fat. But remember, horses do have lipase, that fat enzyme. So it's not
okay.
like they're totally void of the ability to... break down fat just because
okay.
they don't have a gallbladder.
Okay. That's good clarification to know. All right. Tigger, thank you so much. I mean, this has been really helpful on 3 great oils. We've got hemp seed oil, which is the Empower oil on BioStar US, the Camilla oil, which is the Gold Star
Camelina,
which is Gold Star on BioStar US. And again, your website is biostarus.com.
And we want to thank Tigger and, of course, BioStar for their continued support of the show and for also giving us all those little tidbits of information along the way. We really appreciate it. And she does a great job. I didn't know all that about oils, and we do give Scooter some oil, so now I might have to adjust to the type that we're giving him. And let's see here. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and I am with you today along with Kim Baker on the Kim Baker episode. We are here every morning, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern. And we'll be back tomorrow morning. We'll be here with Jamie. And, of course, it's Really Bad Ads Day, so get your Really Bad Ads in, brought to you by EquityMFG.com. Go to Craigslist, find some really bad Craigslist ads in the farm section, and send them to Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com, and we'll get you in for tomorrow's show. It's everybody's favorite for sure. Kim, are you back with us? We lost you there for a minute.
I am back, yes.
Okay, good. Very good. Well, we are just hopping along here today. No time to waste because you have the show booked up, and we have Amy ready to go.
Yes, so we have Amy Howard, and Amy coaches her students successfully through FEI level and international competitions and develop a wide variety of horses for her students, often being the key ingredient in finding and creating a successful match between student and their equine partner. So welcome, Amy.
Thank you.
So good to have you. So Amy and I have been chatting for several different months, and we were connected through a friend of hers that I met in New York. So when I talk about meeting people in New York, I went to a media conference and met a bunch of people there and learned about the different things that they were doing. And one thing that I'm really good at is figuring out how that applies back into the horse world or how something in the horse world applies to the rest of the world. So when I say that I meet people in New York, this is what I'm talking about. And yeah, this gentleman came up and said, oh, you know, you got to meet my friend Amy. And so Amy and I have been talking. And what I really like about Amy's program, which she's going to share with us here in a minute, is, you know, again, that we're looking at things from the horse perspective. And I just love how she really ties all the pieces together. So she's looking at the horse, she's looking at the student, she's looking, you know, at the owner, because sometimes the rider of the horse is not necessarily the owner of the horse. And so there's all these balls, you know, flying around in the air, and she's juggling them really well and putting a great piece together. So I kind of coined her as holistic dressage, which is a new phrase, and I hope you don't mind that I did that, Amy. But, you know, we talked quite at length at, you know, what you do to match everything together to make it so that, you know, the horse isn't getting burned out, the rider's not getting burned out, and all that. So tell us about your background, you know, how you got started. I think you're, like most of us, you know, loved horses since we were, before we were born, and all that. So please tell us your story.
Absolutely. My family had a farm in New Jersey. Horses have been in my family for years. My great-grandfather owned a livery stable in West Orange. So the history of horses and horsemanship has gone back through many generations for us. And so I learned on his farm. I kind of did the, you know, jumping through the woods and trail riding and the gamut of things, went through the 4-H program, and then went to Delaware Valley College with a Bachelor of Science in Equine, and moved on to working at a therapeutic riding program for a few years, and then decided that I wanted to focus on dressage competition training and coined in on that. So I started working for Nancy Pulosker, who is a Grand Prix competitor that is located in New Jersey. So that's what brought me to dressage, and I now have a training facility in Rainbows, New Jersey, where I focus on, as you called it, I think holistic is a great coin for what we try to do here in Ringo's at my stable. I do training of young horses through to FEI Grand Prix. I do some custom sales to find the proper match of combinations of horses and riders. I'm assisted in that with my partner, business partner in Holland, Marcel Timmermans, who does a great job in assisting me with that. I do some sponsored showing, so I ride horses for owners that may not ride the horses themselves, but would like to see their horse go to the highest level that it can in dressage. And I also give lessons to riders who own their own horse normally and come in. And most of my lessons kind of focus on a combination of horse and rider and getting them to work together as a partnership. Sometimes the lesson is focused on the rider's position and how it's affecting the horse. And sometimes the lessons are focused on exercises that can help them in their training to bring them to the next level. So that's kind of an overview of where I came from and the services that I provide at the moment here in Ringo's.
So, Amy, tell me a little bit more about, and you and I have talked about this before, but, you know, your process of, especially at the higher levels of competition, you know, and somebody that wants to get started in that area, and you talked about it, you know, the partnership between the horse and the person. So go into a little bit more detail about that.
So the partnership, I believe, really, even at the highest levels, begins at understanding your horse and understanding your horse as an individual. And within holistic, you're looking at kind of two parts of the horse. There's the horse care, the daily life of the horse, the happiness
right.
of the horse. So that, you know, that includes your turnout, dentistry,
medicine, shoeing, all of those things that surround the horse's daily life. And then we get into the training part, which involves, I think, some cross training, keeping the horses fresh and happy and interested in their work. If you're starting to move your horses up to more of an international level, I think it's important to make sure that the horse is getting their turnout in between competitions, their release time, and things like that. And within the training, it's important to keep things fresh within your training and your riding. You know, when you're schooling your Grand Prix, or whether it be the Prix St. George, giving a variety of exercises, breaking down the exercises into pieces, different approaches, helps keep your horses fresh, along with going on a hack after when you're finished.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
and this is why I wanted to bring you on, is because I just, you know, I love your philosophy with the horses, right? Because we've all been there, right? If we look at, you know, the 9-to-5 job, and you go in, and every day you're, and I've actually done it, like I've done data entry, that was kind of in between jobs and just, you know, needed some cash coming in, and that was, you know, what was available. And that's what I did for 8 hours with data entry. And I got to tell you, by the end of that, it's like, oh, my God, I don't want to see another number. I don't want to look at a computer screen.
Yes.
So, and not that, you know, dressage is data entry or anything like that, but the horses do get bored. And I see it, especially in the wintertime, you know, riding in the indoor. It's like, and the rider too, right? We are staring at the same four walls for, you know, however many months. And, yeah, we got to mix it up, right, to keep us inspired, to keep us refreshed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And during the winter months, using things like Cavalettis, maybe even a small cross rail to jump a little bit, using different exercises, lunging, long lining, and also providing, and this has been a real challenge in New Jersey this year with the ice that we've had, is
providing them,
you know, also a safe way to be turned out, and maybe having on your property a variety of different paddocks available for different types of weather. I'm fortunate to the new farm we moved to have two small paddocks on the outside of the barn that are on a slope that I can maintain and keep my horses going out every day. And that's important for them in this weather and the monotony of being in the indoor as well.
Right. Well, and I mean, we have that too. The footing, exactly. It's like, you know, I don't mind riding in the snow. In fact, it's fun to ride in the snow, and it can actually be, you know, a workout for the horse. If you think about like us walking through the snow, like deeper snow, it actually is harder to, you know, to go through that. So you have to be careful, you know, of what's your physical level of your horse, and you certainly don't want to be, you know, causing more of an issue, but just, you know, like maybe just keeping it at a walk and doing like a bareback ride. That's one thing I love to do in the wintertime. The horse keeps you warm, and then you're just going out and you're just kind of romping around in the snow. And so that's a great, you know, way of just kind of getting out and something different, right? Mixing
Absolutely.
Up the routine. Yeah. A friend of mine was telling me about that too. You know, it's like we humans get in a rut too. It's like we get up, we do the same routine, you know, in the morning, we go to work, we come home, have dinner, what's cooked dinner, what's for dinner, and then, you know, whatever you do in the evening. And it's the same thing day in and day out, right? So how can you, you know, get out of, like, just do something that you wouldn't normally do?
Right.
And, you know, I mean, not to the point of, like, you're going to go rob a bank or, you know, get arrested or something like that, right? But
darn, I need to cross that one off my list. That was on the plan for today.
I was going to say, I figured Glenn, you know, Glenn would be the one thinking of stuff like that. But, you know, instead of drive a different way to work, you know, or maybe you always bring your lunch to work. Well, go out to lunch, you know, and you can get even more crazy than that. Maybe you play hooky and, you know, you go play laser tag or something. You know what I mean? It's like,
I do.
Totally just like, do something out of the ordinary. And I think that we think about that maybe for us, or maybe we don't, but we don't think about it with the horses, right? It's like we've got our agenda, we've got our training regiment, we are going to do this, da 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 da.
Amy, that's a good question. I'm going to come from it from the follow-up on what Kim just said. I'm going to come to it from the horse husband's point of view, okay? how important do you think it is to do non-horsey things every once in a while? Because we tend to, and I'm a horse person too, we tend to get so wrapped up in doing our horsey things that we forget there's a world out there, and sometimes forget that we need to step away from our horses for a couple minutes and do something else for a little bit. It's like any obsession or any addiction. You need to get away from it a little bit every once in a while. Do you find that hard to do personally?
Well, at the moment, yes, because we just moved on to our new farm. So it's been a 7-day-a-week process at the moment.
Right.
But, however, I do think it's really important, just like anything in life, to take a step back, experience something different, go have fun ice skating or, you know, including different aspects of enjoying life other than horses, because you always, it's always in the back of your mind and you're always bringing a little piece of something else fresh back into your riding. And I think that when you're doing it over and over and you become so involved in it, I think sometimes it's difficult, as Kim said, to come up with those ideas that keep things fresh and new, and to bring that to your horses as well.
Absolutely. I find for me, like, in being creative and doing marketing and some of the other jobs that I do, I can't do that in front of the computer. Like, I will, you know, I'll take a break and I'll go down and make myself lunch. I take half hour for lunch and I'll sit on the couch. And then when I'm on the couch, like, all these ideas start coming. I'm like, oh, you know? But it's like if I sit in front of the computer, it's like nothing's happening. Like, the ideas aren't coming through. And when I was training and riding 6 days a week, you know, riding 5 horses 6 days a week, I got to tell you, on Sunday, I didn't want to ride a horse.
Yeah. Right.
And it was family time. It was like, let's go hiking with the dogs. But I found that, you know, it was good to have that break. And then you'd find something that inspired you to want to ride again. Or something, oh, I want to try that with the horse. And it would be in the weirdest spots. You know, like you were saying, Amy, like going ice skating. And then maybe you run into somebody, you know, that there's something completely different, you know, with horses, or has only ridden once, you know, and then they share their, you know, story and passion, and it kind of re-inspires you, you know, to, oh, right, or and appreciate the horse in a different way. And
Absolutely.
And I think you're right, you know, Glenn, you brought up a good point. It's like, yeah, I mean, we love this. It can be, you know, an addiction of sorts, and so taking a break from that so that we just can appreciate it even more.
And can I throw this in? From the family's point of view, you need to do it too. Because you know, they know you're always thinking about your horses and that your life is your horses. And Amy, we've been there. We had a barn, you know, with borders and 25 horses and the whole thing. And it's almost impossible to get away. But, boy, those few times you do, it does clear you. It's like any other job. You need to get away from it every once in a while. It's very difficult when you live on the farm and run a farm like that to ever get away. But then you need it even more. And it's just so hard to do it. It is just so hard to make it happen. But that's what you have to do. It's like anything else. You have to make it happen.
Go ahead, Amy.
I think the culture of having great staff and a support system around you of good people also, you know, allows that to be more possible. And I am fortunate to have, my assistant trainer and my staff that works with, who are just all on the same page within how we take care of the horses. And it does allow then me to have the time to, you know, go into the city and see a play and do things with the family that are really important.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things, you know, for those of us that have like a smaller operation, you know, we don't have a big training facility or a big boarding facility. We just have, you know, a couple horses in our backyard. It's really hard to get away, and it's really hard to find a, you know, somebody that you trust, you know, because you worry about them, because you're not there, because you're not the one taking care of them. But finding a way where you can find somebody that you trust, that you can let that go, so that you can get away, because you definitely need it, and that break, and then you come back, and you're like, oh, you know, it's just, you get that rejuvenation.
Definitely, and I think that comes from finding the right people as well as spending the time with them to bring them on, that everyone that's on the staff and as a group is on the same page, and really having an open communication and the atmosphere where, you know, it's all really working. And even if there isn't staff, even if it's people that are helping you because they love the horses and they want to give you a day off and they come and do your feeding program, you know, having a system in place that is easy to follow, is simple, is not complicated, and that has open communication so that you feel comfortable with what's happening at the farm while you're not there.
Exactly. That's great. So, Amy, where can people find out about you and get more information?
My website is amyhowarddressage.com. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. On Facebook, I have my personal site, which is Amy Howard, and then I also have the business page. They both have a little bit the same content. Some is a little more about farm life, and then the business page tends to be a little more about the showing and taking horses to Devon, things like that. And on the website is my email address and my phone number, and you can contact me there. I really enjoy actually speaking with people. I do email, but I really enjoy getting on the phone. If people have questions or are interested in training, really understanding what they're looking for or helping guide them into, you know, a program that would work for them.
Absolutely, and I think it's interesting, you know, people want to do, you know, email's great, but you're right. And to really understand somebody and what their goals are with the horses, I think getting on the phone, you know, is a great thing, you know, because you get more of the story. And
yeah.
And you can understand, and then you can hear the tone inflections and things like that. So it's definitely more personable to do it that way. So your website, again, is amyhowarddressage.com. Is that correct?
Correct.
Great. And they can, and there's a wealth of information, and you talk about some of your other staff on there too, so they can read their bios, and there's a lot of great information on her website. And you said that, you know, even if your goals aren't, you know, for FEI level or Grand Prix, but you do private lessons as well and things like that. So you have a wide spectrum.
I do. I often have jumper riders as well as event riders that come also to improve their flat work and give variety to their training for their horses as well.
And so, yeah, if you're a Western dressage or you're, you know, you're an endurance rider and you want to, I know a lot of endurance riders, you know, use dressage, you know, to keep the horses in shape. So the cross training that we talked about, you know, that doesn't mean that you have to, you know, do 3 years of dressage training, but, you know, maybe once a month you go and get a little dressage lesson or jumping lesson, something like that, you know, mix it up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Great. Well, Glenn, did you have any other questions?
Nope. I think we're good. Stay warm up there,
okay.
Amy.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
right.
Amy.
Care.
Appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Yeah, so her website, again, is Amy Howard, and it's H-O-W-A-R-D, dressage.com, if you're interested in checking her out. And one thing she mentioned, she mentioned right off the bat the teeth. So that's what clued me in, you know, that she's on it. Like, she understands, you know, the horse, and it's like the horse's body has to be correct to, you know, do these, to do this type of work. I mean, they're athletes anyway, but it's, we're asking a lot. So that's what I liked about her.
Very good. Well, you've had a packed show here today, as always. And if you want to hear more of Kim and you missed the previous episodes, you can go back to horsesinthemorning.com and just search for Kim Baker, and it'll bring up all the past episodes that we have done here, and you can take a listen to those. And, of course, the easiest way to listen to the shows is on our app. Just go to the iOS or Android app store, search for Horse Radio Network, and Horses in the Morning is one of 8 shows on there. But you can listen to the recorded versions of our shows. You still can't listen to the live version on the app. That's just not technologically possible yet. Maybe someday we'll be able to do that. Kim, I think that's it. Thank you so much for joining us again today. We need to thank a few people.
Yep, thanks for having me. I'd like to thank our show sponsors, BioStar US, authentic whole food nutrition for horses and dogs, KB Natural Horsemanship, building quality partnerships and lasting relationships from the ground up, Kim Baker, animal communicator, animals talk, I listen, what does your animal have to say? So if you want to get a reading in a lot sooner, then please feel free to contact me there. And I also am a photographer, so I have beautiful horse, animal, nature, wildlife photography, and you can find that at kimbakermedia.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at The Kim Baker Show, follow us on Twitter at Kim Baker Show, and our horse wisdom message for this month is knowledge is gained through learning, wisdom is gained through experience. And our closing prayer, may there be peace in your spirits, peace in your heart, peace in your life, and may there be peace on earth. Namaste. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a great day.